It was designed sort of for the beginning of the year, and it's a bit of self-introspection, a bit of self-examination. Just how well did I do in 2022? I know a lot of people got to the end of 2022 and said, phew, glad that's over with. Let's hope 2021 rather. 2022, we hope, is going to be a better year for us. So at the beginning of the year, there's this reflection, things didn't go well. So how can I do better this coming year? Now, at the start of the year, our readings in Genesis and in the New Testament speak of things concerning faith. In Genesis, we have Abraham, and the ultimate test of his faith in offering up the sacrifice of his son, and by doing so displayed great faith. In the New Testament readings in Matthew, we came across the account of Jesus walking out to his disciples as they were caught in the midst of the Galilee and amidst a storm. And Peter, when he realized that it was his master, said, "If it is you, call me unto you." And Peter stepped out of the boat and promptly began to sink when he saw the storm around him. And Jesus told him, "Are you of little faith?" So we've got this comparison of faiths going on very early on in our ecclesial year. Faith is a funny word. We tend to use it in different ways. And one of the things that I've been thinking about for some time is faith as a word in Scripture has a very specific meaning, but we tend to broaden the meaning of that word according to our circumstances in life. Just as an example of what I'm trying to say, a couple of modern parables, if you like. One of them, I've seen pictures of a guy, this is in the States, mind you, but hopefully New Zealanders aren't quite so idiotic, of a pedestrian trying to cross an 8-lane motorway, cars going both directions, and his belief, or misguided belief, whichever you want to describe it, was that he could cross that motorway and the cars wouldn't touch him. Faith? Not really. He thought it was, but it wasn't. So any situation, I was thinking about this, any situation where we put ourselves at risk of harm, trusting in God to protect us is not a true description of what our faith should be like, or my faith for it. This is about me mostly, or we'll come to that. The second parable is one possibly you've heard before, a man in a house that's been flooded. And as the flood gets up over the floorboards on the first floor, he moves into the second floor, and eventually a guy in a canoe turns up and says, "Hey, you look like in trouble here, can I help you?" And the guy says, no, I'm waiting for God to save me." Anyway, the flood gets higher and higher and gets up to the second floor, so the guy climbs on the roof and the power bike turns up. "Hey, can we help you? Looks like you're in deep trouble here." And the guy says, no, I'm waiting for God to help me." Eventually, when things get really desperate and he's hanging on in the floodwaters on top of his roof, helicopter turns up. And the guy shouts down to him, "Can we lift you out of there? You look like you're going to die there." And the guy says, no, I'm waiting for God to help me." And the guy, of course, drowns. And this is a parable, mind you. At the pearly gates, he remonstrates with God about, "Why didn't you save me?" And God says, "Well, I sent you a canoe, and I sent you a powerboat, and I sent you a helicopter." And the lesson for us is that we need to recognize God's intervention based on a true faith, a true understanding of what faith is, not a misguided faith. Sometimes it's hard to see God's work to protect us. You know, we believe God will protect us, and sometimes it's hard to see us. Other times it's really obvious that he does, and albeit in ways that we don't see immediately. I give an example here of Jill's accident before we were married, that her life was in the balance when I found out that she'd been injured. I prayed, Jill recovered, and our faith was strengthened. Jill's accident was a pivot point in me giving my life to God. So through all this, my thoughts at this moment are, what is faith? Where does it come from? And what should it look like in me? Now when we think of what is faith, we jump to Hebrews 11 verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, proof of things not seen. The word assurance in that quote means a foundation or a building block, something that provides certainty to our hope. It's closely linked to hope, but it's not the same, in much the same way that soul and spirit are closely linked, but not the same. It hints at the foundation stone, which is Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, it says, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in moral excellence, knowledge. In knowledge, self-control, and self-control, patience. In patience, godliness. And in godliness, brotherly affection. And in brotherly affection, love. So the foundation of faith is all what our other Christ-like attributes are built on. It's got to come first. The other word I wanted to look at in that quote was the fact that it uses the word evidence or proof. Now, in a legal sense, if I was being tried in court because of my hope and my faith, would there be enough evidence or proof to convict me? Even more importantly, would the jury be able to see Christ in me? See Christ's absolute faith and hope. See the vision of what lies ahead that Jesus saw. He saw a cruel and shameful death at the hands of the powers of this world, but followed by the glorious new life attained by overcoming that world. 1 John 5, verses 4 to 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, your faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? As followers of Jesus Christ, we are each called by him to take our cross and follow him, recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I was much relieved to realise that it reads our cross, not his cross. I'm not sure how my faith would stand up to crucifixion. It's interesting to note that those closest to Jesus mostly suffered similar cruel afflictions and death. And I ask myself, is that a measure of how close they were to Jesus? And by implication, how might we be afflicted, depending on how close we are? It seems that those whose faith is strongest are tried the hardest. So why is our faith tested this way? Is it because faith is something that needs to be tried in order for it to become stronger? I think so. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the proof of your faith, which is more precious than gold, that perishes, even though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Back to 1 John 5, 4. This is the victory that has overcome the world, your faith. Faith, therefore, in a scriptural sense, is specific to overcoming the world as Jesus Christ did, in order to present ourselves acceptable to our Father in heaven. 1 John 5 basically tells me that believing and overcoming is the process by which we develop faith. not the blind, unseeing faith of expecting God to rescue us from motorway traffic or flooded homes. Jesus himself shunned that approach by the tempter after his baptism. Faith is focused on God, not ourselves. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to be well-pleasing to him. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So where does faith come from? Scripture is quite clear. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Galatians 3:25 follows that up with, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And this raises a question about the schoolmaster, which I'll come to in a minute. So combined with 1 John 5 that we heard earlier, overcoming the world and believing that Jesus is the Son of God, we have a statement of faith that says, faith comes from hearing the word of God, overcoming the world, believing Jesus is the Son of God, no longer under a schoolmaster, and in diligently seeking him, being rewarded by God. That brings me to what faith should look like in me. The part of my walk with God that I need to work on. Galatians 3, as I said earlier, says I am no longer under a schoolmaster. Now, I was never a Jew under Torah law, therefore it must mean something different to me, to non-Jews. I believe that it is naturally doing that which is right in God's sight without needing the rules, regulations, and laws to direct me. It doesn't mean I'm lawless. Let me explain. Romans 2 verses 13 to 15 explains it this way. For it isn't the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law that will be justified. For when Gentiles who don't have the law do by nature the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience testifying with them, and their thoughts among themselves accusing or else excusing them. The self-examination part of the whole exercise. My walk, therefore, needs to become one of doing things naturally, those things of the law. Not being distracted by the things of this world, Russia, China, Iran, Hezbollah, and Hamas, which, by the way, has an Arabic meaning of violence, which is highly appropriate. The breaking of God's law all around us. Housing crisis, even ill health and personal circumstances, whether it's material or mental health or whatever, you get the picture. All these things distract me from God. They take my focus off him and his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus, the Christ. When I start being distracted and or fearing these things, as I sometimes do, then I find my relationship with God is starting to struggle. When that happens, I find I'm also starting to struggle with relationships around me, not having that closeness with God and Christ as I should in my walk. So why am I find myself struggling a bit at this time? It's because my faith is being tried. It needs to be stronger than what it is now. I need to get my focus back on the reward, the kingdom of God. Get it back to the forefront of my heart and mind. To do naturally the things of the law, the royal law this time. To love the Lord my God with all my heart and mind and strength, and to love my neighbour as myself. My resolve, therefore, in this coming year is to consciously put away worldly distractions and to diligently seek Him who is able to keep me from falling, even our Lord Jesus Christ, to do the works of faith. I need to set my heart on being among those who say to our Lord when He comes, "When did I see you naked, hungry, thirsty, and in prison?" And to hear the reply, "Well done, my faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord."